And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of slavery in Islam. That is, revealing the truths about slavery in general as we be continuing our study today with slavery in the Old Testament. And then we will be moving, Lord's willing, to slavery in the New Testament and so on, with comparing the West and the East, the practice of slavery in the West and the practice of slavery in Islam. And finally, we're going to be looking at what the Quran teaches about slavery and what Muhammad taught and practiced and how he practiced slavery in the Sunnah of Islam. In our last program, we were looking at the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, verses 39 to 41, concerning if a Jewish man became poor for some reason and he had to sell himself to another Jewish family. We discovered that he will be serving this family until the year of Jubilee, and he and his wife and his children and everything in his possession will go back to him, his land, because that is the year where everybody go back to his inhabitants or his possessions. No one can own the land because the Lord is the one who owns the land, and every 50 years people go back to their land as nothing was wrong in the previous years when they became poor. Now, today we're going to look at what is written in the following verses, which obviously Leviticus chapter 25, verses 47 and down. And we're talking about the Jewish people who sold themselves to the Gentiles. Now, the Gentiles now are not owning the Jewish people as slaves, but they actually work for them. I know the word sold or bought or buy, selling and buying, it sounds like slavery, but it is not. Once again, why? Because if you're buying something to own, you will inherit his children and your children will inherit his grandchildren. It is forever slavery, but that's not what the Bible is talking about. If it is true slavery, a man or a woman cannot redeem themselves, or no one can redeem them, or there is no such a thing, they're free every 6 years, as we have seen in previous study. But that is a type of hiring or a type of owning people land for a limited time, which ended in the 6 years, after the 6 years of work according to the Jewish calendar, or in the 48 years, that will be the end of it for the Jewish people to inherit their homes and their land, their possessions back, which is the year of the Jubilee. Now, let's continue with Leviticus chapter 25, verses 47, 48, 49, and on with the rest of our study for our broadcast for today.
If a sojourner or stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him, or if he be able, he may redeem himself.
Now we're talking about the strangers who live in the promised land. Wait a minute. Why a stranger will live in the promised land? God knows the future. God setting the rules and the laws to Moses, to the children of Israel, because he knows they're not going to obey him. They're not going to kill all the strangers in the land as the promise or as the order or the command was, as we talked about in our previous programs, that the command of God not to keep any of these people alive because it's time for the punishment for their sins. But God, the one who knows the future, is telling them. Now, if this happened because he knows, God knows it's coming. God knows it is going to happen, okay? So now we have Gentiles, an Egyptian, or somebody from the Ishmaelites, or whatever, was living there in the promised land, and he became rich. At the same time, one of the Hebrews became poor. So the Hebrew sold himself, or the rich bought the Hebrew to work for him. That Hebrew can set himself free, can redeem himself. How? Pay the money back. Depend how many years he worked for him, and the difference of the years, he pays the money back because he already got paid up front. His brother can free him. His uncle can free him. His cousin can redeem him, or he can redeem himself. Once again, the power hand, the upper hand is in the person who sold himself, not in the person who's buying. Which means if whoever bought me and I say, hey, I sold myself for you for 5 years, I worked 2 years, here's the money for the last 3 years, and I'm free. He cannot say, oh, no, 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 you're going to work for me. You're not going anywhere. You're going to serve me the 6 years. No, the power is in the hand of the person who sold himself. I can free myself if I got rich, or somebody relative to me can free me, or even a stranger can free me, can redeem me from this contract of work. This is the just system as it is put in the book of Leviticus as we read here in the Bible. I know once again, when somebody hears the word sell himself, somebody buy somebody, it's slavery. That's not slavery. It is hiring himself. Somebody hired him and he paid him upfront. Once again, not buying and selling, as we know what slavery is all about. All right? Let's move on to another passage here as we continue to know about the deal. It is not chaos. People do whatever they want. No, there is a deal. That's why God bought the calendar. There's number of years he worked. And when he sell himself or somebody buy somebody, he buy him according to the number of years. There is system. It's not a chaos. It's very well organized system. Okay? Here we go, verses 51 through 54.
There be yet many years behind him. According unto them, he shall be given again the price of his redemption out of the money that he was bought for. And if there remain but few years unto the year of Jubilee, then he shall count with him, and according unto his years shall he give him again the price of his redemption. And as a yearly hired servant shall he be with him, and the other shall not rule with rigor over him in any sight. And if he be not redeemed in these years, then he shall go out in the year of Jubilee, both he and his children with him.
Once again, if I'm going to sell myself to another Hebrew and say it was halfway between the years of work and the year of Jubilee, so it's like 25 years left. I'm going to serve you. I'm 25 years old. I'm going to serve you for 25 years. That's literally, I'm 50 years old now. In the end of it, I am free if I didn't pay you any money because I'm still poor. Or if I got rich or somebody in my family redeemed me, he must pay according to how many years you have paid me upfront. See, when I sell myself, I get paid upfront. Say $1,000 a year for 25 years, that's $25,000. If I only work 5 years, it's fair that I want to be free, I have to give you back 20,000, the difference of the years which I did not work. Very perfect system. But it is not as we think of slavery is, as we have seen it between white and black in America or somewhere else around the world. That's not slavery, that's a hiring system. You get paid up front, if you don't want to work and you got the money, pay back and you're free. All right? That is the word of God concerning working in these fields. Now I want to go to marriage in the Bible. And once again, I laugh because when Muslims read that, they think, well, here we go. People selling their own daughters. And people, it is dowry. And okay, it's money you give to get a wife for yourself or for your son, as we're going to see here. It is not selling. It is not slavery. And I don't know how to explain to you. We're talking about 3,500 years ago, first law ever written on a paper, and people practice it concerning marriages, okay? So we're going to go to the book of Exodus, chapter 21, beginning from verse 7. And the scripture said,
if a man shall sell his daughter to be a maidservant, she shall not go out as the men servants do. If she please not her master, who hath betrothed her to himself, then shall he let her be redeemed. To sell her unto a strange nation, he shall have no power, seeing he hath dealt deceitfully with her.
Okay, now I'm going to sell my daughter to my neighbor. Well, I am marrying my daughter to my neighbor. He's going to pay dowry. He's going to give me money towards that beautiful daughter of mine, which I'm going to give away to my neighbor. Now, the scripture is very clear. She will not be like the word he used there, maidservant. Maidservant shall not go out as men servants. She's not going out like a slave. Even though I get paid, by this neighbor of mine who is going to take my daughter as a wife for himself. Okay? Now, if he did not like her, for some reason he didn't like her, he cannot say, okay, I paid $10,000 for her or $5,000 for her. I just go and sell it to somebody else. No, he can't do that. You take it for yourself, you're going to keep it for yourself, and you're going to treat her not like a slave, but you slave her as a wife. You don't like her, that's fine. You cannot sell her. You have to treat her like if she is your wife. You stuck with her for the rest of your life. We're going to continue with the passage. We're going to go on to verses 9 to 11.
If he hath betrothed her unto his son, he shall deal with her after the manner of daughters. If he take him another wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage shall he not diminish. And if he do not these three unto her, then shall she go out free without money.
So now I'm going to take this, my daughter gave it to a gentleman, and he is not going to marry her, but he's going to give her as a wife to his son. He would treat her as a wife. She is his wife. Now, if he got his son another wife, now he have two wives. Well, we know from the scripture, people have many wives in the Old Testament, okay? He have two wives. He have to treat them the same. Food, clothes, even the intimate relationship in bed. He have to treat her equally, my daughter, like the other wife he will have for his son. If not, she will leave free. Which means that dad will not lose the money he gave towards her to start with, and she's a free woman because now she is like a divorced wife. She's no longer tied to that man for any reason. Why? Because he neglected her her food, he neglected her remnant, he neglected his duty, his marriage duty, or his relationship with her. I'm talking about the union between a husband and a wife. The sexual relationship between him and her. If he did not treat her like the other wives, then she can literally walk out of this marriage as a free woman. Once again, this is not selling a daughter, that marrying a daughter to another Hebrew. And Jewish people practice this all the years of their life. And the proof is not that she is not bought as a slave. When people buy slaves, they can sell their slaves to anybody. That's not the case. He cannot. If he does not like her for whatever reason, he cannot get away of giving her to somebody else for money. He can't do that. All right? That is internal evidence. That's not slavery. Let's move on to Exodus chapter 21, verses 26 and 27.
If a man smite the eye of his servant or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. And if he smite out his manservant's tooth or his maidservant's tooth, he shall let them go free for his tooth's sake.
Problem happened. Problem happened in marriages. Have you ever heard a man beat his wife? Of course it does happen. Even in Christian homes. That's why we get divorced in the church as much as we get divorced outside in the world. So what is the options here? A man beat his servant, got mad at the servant, and broke his teeth. Punishment for the master, that servant who worked for him will go out free. He will not work another day. Because he committed a crime against his servants, a male or a female. A broken teeth, a broken eye, he or she will be free without paying anything back. It's a good system. For early laws, for early justice, we're talking about 3,500 years ago. At this time, people were killing people like we kill chicken. So that's a very good and just system. All right? That's comparing one make a mistake and hurt his or her servant. Okay? He lose the privilege of having him or her to continue to work for them. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 23 and verses 15 and 16. Verses 15 and 16, which is a very important passage. Because you may think all the Jewish people were good people. No, they were not all good people. Some of the Jewish people were ugly. They did not treat their servants right. They may abuse them physically. They may be beat them, abuse them with language, talk, you know, psychologically. So, and that servant could not take it anymore, and he or she decided to run. So what the Jewish people will do if a servant run away from a master because he was mistreated by that master? Let's listen together to the word of God, Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 15 and 16. The scripture said,
"Shalt not deliver unto his master the servant which is escaped from his master unto thee. He shall dwell with thee, even among you, in that place which he shall choose in one of thy gates, where it liketh him best. Thou shalt not oppress him."
Some Hebrew were serving a master, a man or a woman, it doesn't matter, and they were mistreated, misabused, and escaped, run for their life. And they go to other person. The new person will never give him or her back to the previous master. After he found out, you know, there is mark of beating on the body, there is physical evidence that there was not right, that, and you believe their account, they're not making up story, they will live with you. Any place they choose to live in your property, they will. And you have to take care of them. What a system. That's not slavery, my friends. That's not the slavery as we know it. It's the history of mankind. Because if this is just a normal slavery, we're talking about worker-server relationship here. If this is a slavery, of course, you take him or her back to her master, and you can maybe beat them on the way, taking them back. No, these are Hebrews live by these laws, by these rules. So you better treat your workers nicely, respectfully, in love. Don't abuse them because they can walk away from you and you will lose them for good. And another Hebrew will take care of them until they stand up on their feet, the 6 years is finished, or the year of Jubilee come back and they'll go back to their property and they'll become rich like they used to be before they lost everything to work for you in the first place. All right? This is concerning when some slave escape, or not slave, some servant, I use the word slave, escape, some hired man or hired woman escape because of mistreatment of the gentleman or the people you work for. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 27, verses 1 through 3.
"The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When a man shall make a singular vow, the person shall be for the Lord by thy estimation. And thy estimation shall be of the male from 20 years old even unto 60 years old. Even thy estimation shall be 50 shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary."
By the way, this is a passage which sadly is funny. When I read the Quran, my friends, I always love to go back to Muslim scholars' interpretation. So I can understand what the Quran is talking about. Now, when Muslims read that passage, they make up their own interpretation. They don't bother to go read any Christian or Jewish theologian to know what the passage is talking about. They just come up with this in their head. So they think that every person has value. A man worth more money than women, worth more money than animals. And here is a market in the Jewish community. Everybody's selling everybody. You can sell your wife, you can sell your son, you can sell your daughter, you can sell your donkey, you can sell your goat, you can sell your camel. And prices. I mean, here we go. 50 shekel for the man who is what age is here? Male. From 20 years old, even unto 60 years old. 50 shekels of silver. Let's continue with the list of prices.
"If it be a female, then thy estimation shall be 30 shekels. And if it be from 5 years old, even unto 20 years old, then thy estimation shall be the male 20 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels. And if it be a month old, even unto 5 years old, then thy estimation shall be of the male 5 shekels of silver, and for the female thy estimation shall be 3 shekels of silver."
What are we talking about here? Different ages of different strengths. Man and woman. Men have more value than women. The longer the years, the higher the price. Are we talking about slavery market where there's a list here with the prices and the ages selling and buying male and females? No. Brothers, we're talking about making a vow. I would say, Lord, I thank you so much for your many blessings on my life. And I make a vow to you, I will give myself to you for 10 years. Or I'll give my wife to serve you for 3 years. Or I give my son, who's 20 years old, to serve you 20 years. A vow. I'm going to give something to the Lord for a heart of appreciation. I'm doing this in my free will. Okay? I'm doing this in my free will. Different people have different strength. Different creature have different price. So man is stronger than woman. Different age have different value. Don't you dare tell me that me, 50 years old, working, is equal to 25 years old, young muscles guy, as I used to be 25 years old. Of course, he would do much work, greater work than I do. Now, if I am 80, I'll be hardly doing any work. So if I'm making a vow to serve the Lord in a heart of appreciation by my life, as some Jewish people used to do by their sons or their daughters, their wife, their creatures. And we went to the temple and we told the priest, I already made a vow. I'm going to serve the Lord 10 years in the temple. Okay, that's a vow. And the priest looked at me and said, I really don't need your help. I got plenty of people here. Now, what am I going to do with my vow? Throw it away? No. If I have worked these 10 years somewhere else, I may make, say, $1,000 a year. So I made a vow to serve the Lord 10 years, time $1,000, that's $10,000. Then I gave the temple, I gave the priest, I gave the elders of the church or of the synagogue that amount of dollar. If I make a vow, oh, Lord, thank you so much. I would love to give my son Caleb to serve you in the temple for 4 years, and I made the vow. So I take my son, we'll go to the temple. Yeah, Caleb, yeah, let's go, son. Yep, we're gonna go to the temple. You're gonna serve the Lord 4 years because I made the vow. Yes, Dad. We'll go to the temple. Same thing. The priest said, I don't need your son. I mean, so okay, 10 years, the value of his work will be given in cash or not. He's actually silver, you know, it's like money, okay, given silver to the temple. Of course, my daughter is not as strong as my son. And the older you get, the less work you can do. So that is the system which was set by Moses. If people voluntarily made a vow to the Lord, you can fulfill your vow. If the temple or the priest does not need your help or does not, you give what is worth of your vow to the temple. Can you imagine if everybody volunteered to serve the Lord for a couple years, and now we got 10,000 people in the temple to serve the Lord for 2 years. There's no need for it, but we can use what is value equal to their service in silver, and that can be used in many things. We can buy wood, we can buy material to fix the temple, we can, you know, that's the whole idea of fulfilling the vow, not in the vow you made, but what is the value of your vow towards shekel of silver to be used in the temple? In the following verses 7 to 8, we read,
if it be from 60 years old and above, if it be a male, then thy estimation shall be 15 shekels, and for the female, 10 shekels. But if he be poorer than thy estimation, then he shall present himself before the priest, and the priest shall value him. According to his ability, that vow shall the priest value him.
Similar to what we said there, of course, they're 60 years or older, less money. It's not because you're buying them, no. You are paying what is equal to their services if they have done it in the temple. And since the priest does not need your service and you want to fulfill your duty because you already made the vow, you pay in silver instead. Now, the guy made a vow and he's poor. Lord, I make a vow. I'm going to serve you. I don't have any money. The priest will look at you, figure out how much you're worth, and they will make a just vow. Not because you cannot, because you're not fulfilling your vow, but you cannot afford to fulfill your vow. Okay, whatever the circumstances in the deal here. This is the end of our study for the Old Testament concerning some of the passages which sadly our liberals and our Muslim friends will take out of context and make a big deal about it. And I'm shocked, because how many times when we debate Muslims or we talk with Muslims and we explain, when we talk about the topic of slavery, there is no slavery in the Old Testament. Oh no, they are. They were buying and selling the Jewish people. As a matter of fact, the young man is worth more money than the old man, and the young lady is worth more money than the old lady. And so obviously, it's a simple confusion, simple misunderstanding, because they are ignorant of the interpretation of the scripture. But I don't blame them for it. And I'm thankful to God that we have this TV broadcast to correct this information. God never condoned slavery. He condemned slavery in the Bible. He was talking to the Jewish people about the future. They will have slaves. As a matter of fact, they will hire each other in the Bible, and you hear the word sell and buy, but that's hiring, not no slavery. So yes, there is slavery in the Bible. It's because of the Jewish people disobey God's command. He said, kill them all. They kept so many of them alive. And the reason he does not want them to live, I'm talking about the inhabitants, the original people of the land, because he knows if the Jewish people allowed these heathens to live and not to be wiped by death for their sin, they will make the children of Israel sin against God. And that's exactly what happens throughout the Old Testament. I encourage you, my dear friends, to go back to the Bible and read the Old Testament. And surprise, surprise, this is a reality. When the Jewish people disobeyed God and kept some of the original land alive, they were a thorn in the flesh. They caused them to sin, and God used them to punish them. It's all over the book of Judges. It is all over 1st and 2nd Kings. And it is all the way until they were taken actually to captivity as a punishment for their sin. Lord is willing, when we come back in our next broadcast, we're going to be talking about slavery in the New Testament. Yes, you heard me right. And we'll see what the Bible teaches about slavery for us, the Christian, in the New Testament. Don't forget, we got lots of material on our website, and I encourage you to educate yourself and others. Get yourself a copy of my accurate English translation of the Quran. The Generous Quran is available on our website, thestraightway.org, thestraightway.org. Also, you can have all these books as e-books. The two-volume books exposing the truth about the Quran, the revelation of error. All the stories which Muhammad copied in his Quran from the true accurate account of the Bible, and will show you the errors and the contradiction and the nonsensical teaching of the Quran. And my new book, which is not new now, it's 2 years old, Exposing the Truths About Jihad, Holy War in the Bible. That is volume one. Volume two coming up. It's already in the print. Read volume one so you can finish it on time to get volume two. I believe it will be ready in a few weeks. Lord is willing. Also, don't forget, if you don't like to read and you don't have the eyes to read this small size books, you can also educate yourself about Islam by getting our DVDs. And we got 9 of them as a set, or you can just get them one singles. Just go on to our website, thestraightway.org, thestraightway.org, and you can get any single or the whole set DVDs. Also, these two small booklets are very important for you to use as a means to minister to the Muslim people. The red one is called The Violent Truths About Islam. It's a 24 pages where I share with you plenty of the hateful, violent verses in the Quran and the saying of Muhammad. And that is good for the Muslims who claim that, oh, Islam is love, Islam is peace. That will open their eyes. And the second one, which is The Straight Way to Eternal Life, is The Straight Way to Eternal Life, that green booklet, it's written just for Muslims to lead them to Christ. If you study it, you can use it yourself to share the gospel with the Muslims. But if you are in a gas station or Walmart or a place where you just see Muslim people and you only have a few seconds to talk with them, you can always keep these in your pockets, keep them in your bucket. And when you see a Muslim person, quickly get out of your bucket and share with them. And if they read it, they will get saved and become Christians. Thank you so much for allowing me to spend this time with you. I praise God for this TV broadcast, and I hope and I pray that you will join us again in the next broadcast as we continue our study of revealing the truth about slavery, revealing the truth about slavery in Islam. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.